So what I want to say to you, or at least what we'd like to get across to people tonight, is be strong, or being strong is not just for the famous in the Bible or some famous preacher. But being strong are for everybody who wants to be strong. How many of you want to be strong tonight? Well, you'll be strong. You're going to be stronger. So somebody said, you know, you're strong. You're stronger more than you actually know it. You're stronger than you look. You're stronger than you feel. You're stronger than what someone said about you. And so in my introduction, I want to say being strong refers to your stance that has already been prepared for you from the point of what God created you to be. We must not be moved by negative circumstances around us. Essentially, what Paul is referring to here is a way of acting. When we feel weak against opposing situations that we're facing, we might not feel strong, but so this reference here is made, you know, not only for somebody who's specifically physically strong or somebody who's mentally intelligently strong. He's referring to people, a group of people, those Ephesians and us, whose faith must be fought in a strong way. So what does this idea of being strong really mean for us today in that scripture? So the dictionary word, I wanted to find out what the dictionary said, so I looked in the dictionary for you tonight. And it means, you know, the opposite, of course, of being weak, which is being weak. The dictionary said the word strong means having or showing a great physical muscular strength. So Deb was saying in our announcement, we need some people with some strong muscles. And I've asked somebody here coming in tonight if they had strong muscles, because their mother was saying that they had strong muscles. So I wanted to feel that bicep. So it was actually strong. So being mentally, another one would be being mentally powerful or rigorous. You know, you could be mentally strong. It also means having a great moral power or firmness in things that you believe that are ethically proper, morally proper. It means powerful in influence as well. To be strong means your influence is strong in authority, having resources or means of prevailing and succeeding. Those are all just dictionary words. Anybody can find those things. But the original word that we see here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 is a Greek word, endunamu. Endunamu. It's pronounced like in, and dunamus, which is actually the word dunamus, which means power or explosive strength. This word means or describes a power of being deposited into something, giving it strength or ability to function. So this meaning means to be strengthened, empowered, or to receive strength. So the word picture in there gives us, you know, it means explosive power being deposited into a receiver, and it means how Christians are to be in the Lord. Now, you don't have to have the Greek to know all those things. I just gave you something else over there, but I mean, the Greek gives you a little bit more extra information. You know, I was taught by a world-renowned minister of faith, and he said, you know, most of the time you don't need the original Greek to understand the Bible. You just have to read and know the Bible, and you'll find out. You know, when I was in school, my teacher always showed me how to find out what a word means by reading the different ways to read something, and you know, you read the words before, the words after it, you look at the context of it, you understand. How many of you would know what I'm talking about? How many of you went to school? Yeah, you did. Yeah, okay. So I'm glad you went to school. So God wants every one of us, all of us, to be invigorated with his strength, which he has already deposited in you. God already deposited in you. Hence, this word that Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. Everybody say, let the weak say, I am strong. Now I want you to say, I am strong. Say, I am strong. That's who you are. You say, what's your name? Strong. My name is Strong. That's why Caleb here, his name, you know, Caleb, for a long time I couldn't call him by the right name. He asked me to, because for half of my life I called him a certain name. Then all of a sudden he switches. I didn't even know it. He said, and I would normally call him by his original name. Then he says, my name is, last name is Strong, and my first name is this. It was confusing for me. So there's another lady who changed her name as well, and she did the same thing for me. And all my life, since I was Dehydrated Grasshopper, I knew her by one name. Then all the time, she's 60 years old, she said, my name is this. I said, okay, all right, hold ye a peace. So it is, you know, and so you are, and many of you are my over 60, your name is now Strong. Okay, so anything else, you'll be like the rest of them. Your name is Strong. Say, I am strong. Who are you? Strong. That's right. So you're strong. So next time you run up to a devil, you said, I'm strong. Move out of the way. So what did Jesus meant? Let's just look at something here. The Lord here using a natural illustration of a spiritual truth. There was a spiritual fact that he wanted to get over to his disciples. You know, he was talking about a spiritual fact that actually has very positive practical implications. But if they did a certain thing, a certain way, they would become thus and so. And so he talked about building a strong house. Because of the crisis of life comes to every one of us. You'll not escape having trouble. And sometimes you're going to run up against things that you have no idea how you're going to work this out. And you're going to run into panic situations. You're going to have, maybe a little bit of high blood pressure for half a day. Or maybe you won't be able to sleep. Or you won't be able to eat. Some of you, when you go through stress, you don't want to eat. How many of you are like that? Two of you. How many of you are, when you stress, you want to eat? You want to eat. There's none of you there. There's more people like that. So anyway, that's why a lot of you are a little bit, you know, yeah, you know. So either way, I mean, you know, so the crisis of life comes to all of us, whether you eat or don't eat, whether you sleep or don't sleep, because when crisis comes, it shakes you up. And you can't sleep, or you can't eat, or you don't like to be around people, or you want to be around people, or whatever, how it affects you, right? And so after the storm, Jesus talks about after the storm would subside in a certain situation, depending how you built your house, it'll either be standing, or it'll be upside down, or it won't be there anymore. So, but really, it's up to you and I to prepare for it. And I can tell usually, you know, being trained as a professional in my own discipline, profession, I can tell when I know my clients, they can talk to them, and I can tell right away if they're going to fail or succeed if I don't get a certain kind of content over to them. And so in Christians, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for, you know, 36 plus years, you know, I can tell if someone comes to my office, I can tell at the moment of time whether that person is going to fail or succeed. So you have a certain kind of idea And Jesus knew, and he's teaching these people over here. And so you know, you can be in the same church hearing the same minister, and one can hear, one hears, I mean, they can all both hear the same thing. One will be successful, one wouldn't. There's a reason for it. So there is an explanation, and Jesus gives us that explanation. So we need to be strong. So if you all turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, and let's go and see what natural illustration gives us, bringing us the spiritual truth that we need to understand. Jesus is saying, therefore, verse 24 of Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever means you, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Everybody say a wise man. And which built his house upon a rock. Say rock. Verse 25, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. In other words, this person built his house objectively and purposely on a rock or a strong foundation. He's talking about a Christian who's building their lives either on the word or some other philosophy or other some thinking that's not biblical. And so he says, verse 26, and he's making a comparison. He says, and everyone that hears these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened or compared to a foolish man. Everybody say a foolish man. So you know that foolish man heard the word, but he didn't put it to practice. Like you could hear this message tonight and go out and say, praise God, oh, hallelujah, and just forget about it. Don't write anything down. Don't hear anything. You're in the same service. You could be at a church service hearing about healing and you're sick, and you go out that door and say, well, that was wonderful, but then forget about it. Like one guy I was telling Pastor Ken, I was called to go to a hospital of someone with some kind of long-term illness, and that would kill him, not immediately, but it will take some time. So I asked that person, what he wanted. He wanted prayer, but he didn't want me to tell him and teach him anything. All he wanted me to do is maybe slap some oil on him, lay my hands on him, and speak a word over him, and it'll be fine. So I said, wait a minute. I mean, what do you know about healing? And I knew something about healing, and I knew something about faith, and I knew he wasn't ready to receive prayer. So I said to him, okay, listen, I'm going to give you this little booklet. It's very small, and you can read that tonight, and I'll come back tomorrow, and I'll pray for you. You be ready. So I left there and went back the next day, and I said to him, okay, did you read the Bible, read that those things I gave you, and we're getting ready to pray? He said, oh, no, I have no time. So then I went away and came back and did the same thing. Because I learned from my other predecessors, people who do this kind of thing that I do, and I found out what they did and how they were able to successfully help someone else. So, over some period of time, that person did not read the Bible, did not read that scripture, wasn't ready for me to pray. So you could pray, but if you don't have the word and believe, you will fail. This is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. If you just get married without the word, your marriage will fail. Or have a hard time, at least struggle all your life with it, and still be married, but really didn't enjoy it. So if we're going to be successful, we got to find out what Jesus said in the scripture. Now he says here, everyone that hears these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon sand. Sand is anything else except the word. I've had, people that want to get married, and they said, just show up and just pronounce us as married. I said, well, what about all these things we have to do? And we need to talk about preparation. You know, successful marriages don't happen because, they just happen to be. But you have to prepare for it, right? So, verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. These two individuals, or peoples, heard the same thing. One put it into practice, one didn't. One went down, the other one stood. One was wise, one was foolish. Which one do you want to be? How strong do you want to be? It's up to you. How strong are you going to be? You don't look at healing just because you got sick or when you got sick. You better look at healing now, right now, before sickness comes. You better read about healing like right now. Read about it. You say, I'll read healing scriptures when I get sick. It might be too late for you. So that's why I keep coming to church and hear different things so that you can be prepared. Everybody say, prepared. Now, so you can be prepared to be strong. You can be prepared to be as solid as a rock. Right? So you can be wise or foolish. You can be strong or you can be weak. You can be solid as a rock or quicker than quicksand. You know, there's a song by Elton John. I'm still standing. Yeah. I remember, how many of you remember that song? Let me see your hand. Praise God. You know, I don't know what the song is all about, but it sounds pretty good. And I like what it said, and I'm still standing. So we need to be a doer of the Word of God. Amen? So let's look at Paul's encouragement in the context of what he's saying here in Ephesians 6:10. He says, what did Paul mean when he told the Ephesians to be strong? Did he really mean that everyone in the body of Christ can be strong? Well, absolutely and emphatically, yes. Every one of us, he's talking to the church of God. That he said, be strong. That's what he wants you to do. God wouldn't tell you anything to do something that you could not do. If he said, be strong, then you be strong. So he wasn't talking about some bunch of weak people who didn't exercise or people who did undernourished. He didn't tell them to be strong. He's talking to everybody. So if he said you can be strong, you can be strong. So he says the final word, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Being strong is a stance we take every day in everyday life, especially when we're confronted by the devil. So don't wait for the devil to show up with red clothes on, horns, and a pitchfork, and some kind of, you know, tail with an arrow at the end of it. So the devil comes in many forms. He comes as anxiety. He comes as lack. He comes as missed opportunity. He comes as fear. He comes as anything. And any one of those, you must fight back. Okay? Because people don't recognize the devil. When you're, the devil comes as discouragement. The devil comes condemnation. He'll condemn you. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. Or you're not rich enough. You're not. And he comes and he'll say, why would God use you? And so that's the devil. So you have to rebuke every one of those things. And say, I don't believe that. And speak out to it into yourselves. I don't believe it. Here's what I believe. And listen to this. The Lord spoke to me earlier today and yesterday and the day before after that and then today again about this. You know? What did he say? Well, I forgot. Anyway. Well, he said, you know, you can be prepared. You can be prepared for every situation. And don't wait for something to happen before you start doing something. You know, so let's read here Paul's statements in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read on from verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to read this in the New Living Version. Put on all God's armor so that you may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on. What's he saying? Put on. He's telling you to put on something so that you can stand strong. So if you don't put on this, you ain't going to be strong. He says, put on. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be strong, standing you will be still standing firm or standing strong. Same thing with Jesus said. Stand your ground. Everybody say, I am standing my ground. He says, putting on, notice this, putting on, you got to put on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. Shoes, put on peace that comes from God. Good news that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion, not just when you're feeling good or at a prayer meeting. You pray all the time. So somebody asked, we those words one time, did you finish praying today? No, I always pray. I'm always praying. I know you're always praying. A lot of you are always praying too. You're saying, help me, help me, help me. But you need more than that. You need more than that kind of prayer, right? You got to know how to pray, right? So it says here, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So these armors or spiritual weaponry, spiritual armors that are mentioned for us here in this Paul's statements, they are protection. They are for protection. Most of them are for protection, and one really basically is for an offensive weapon to beat off the devil. And so if you don't understand how you protect yourself, then it's going to be a difficult situation. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we put on this armor. The breastplate of righteousness, it says here, the King James says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The evil day is a time you're fighting. And wherefore you take the whole armor of God. So the breastplate of righteousness is the armor of God that you need to have on, which means you understand your new nature. That you are righteous right now. You might not feel righteous. You might have made some mistakes this morning. You might not feel righteous, but you are righteous right now. That's who you are. You're not going to be righteous one day. You are right now. Amen? So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that you are righteous. He says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I believe Romans 5, verse 6 talks about in there that we have peace with God, you know, because we've been justified by his blood, that we have peace with God. Amen? You're justified. And I remember Billy Graham said one time. I heard him say this actually a few times. He says, the word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. You know? So that's the way you are right now. It's like you've never sinned. You're righteous right now. You're not going to be one day. Not 1,000 years from now you'll be righteous. You're righteous right now. The moment you get born again, Jesus made you a righteous person. So if you're going to win the battle of life, you got to understand that I'm righteous. The devil might be accusing you, but you got to say, listen, devil, I'm righteous. I have right standing with God. He's condemned you. He said, no, I'm right with God. He said, what about this? No, he's forgiven me. I'm right right now. So say, I am righteous. So number two, put on gospel shoes. Always be prepared to walk by faith, preaching the gospel, the good news of God, the peace of God. Paul chapter 10, verse 15 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Look at your feet. Take off your shoe. No, don't take it off. He says, I got beautiful feet. So the Bible says you need to be prepared every day to be at peace. Have the peace of God. Walk in peace every day. You know, when things get upset, you say, I have peace, the peace of God. Everything might be in turmoil, but you have peace of God on you. Jesus said, I give you peace, my peace I leave you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because you have peace. Say, I have peace with God. Say, I have peace of mind. Say, I have the peace that passes all understanding. You're going to say, well, I don't know why I feel so good about this. It looks really dangerous out here. Well, because you have the peace of God. Verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith. Everybody say, shield of faith. He says, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, you have to hold the shield of faith up. Right? And by faith, we protect ourselves. By faith, we can resist the enemy. The Bible says, resist the enemy, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, with our faith, we resist all the enemy. We resist the enemy. James 4, 7, you know, we resist the enemy by faith. Talks about that in there. Now, let's read this for in context here when we talk about resisting the enemy. Now, listen, verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, by casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your cares. How many cares? All of them. All of them. Be sober, because you could be drunk with the world's thoughts. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. You're not going to be devoured, because I read the scripture yesterday. I thank God for it, Psalm 119, and I read the whole thing. I meditated on the whole 65, and I was there, and I read the whole thing. Took me about, I don't know, an hour maybe, just read the whole thing, meditate on it, and I felt so strong. Okay, where's the devil? And so it says in there that, you know, I stand with God, and he covers me. And that's why the enemy can't find me. I mean, why don't you get so lost in the spirit that you can't find yourself? Somebody said that God made you so new that he had to reintroduce yourself to you through the scripture, because there's 133 scriptures that says who you are in Christ, what you have, and what you can do. You just don't know who you are. Who am I? I'm strong. Praise God. Amen? So, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you're not the only one that's suffering. You know, we read something the other day in our staff meeting that, with the prophet said, Elijah said, I'm the only one. God says, no, you're not. There's 700 people over there in that cave. No, 700 people are there. And we looked at different scriptures, because there's a lot of times people feel like they're alone, but you're not. I'm in there too. Number 4, put on the helmet of salvation. So you have to use your faith to resist the enemy, and you can. You can resist him, because the Bible says you can resist the enemy with by faith. Everybody say this, I resist the enemy. Say, I resist. Fear. Doubt. Poverty. Sickness. Anxiety. Burdens. So do you have to resist those? Say, I resist condemnation. I resist jealousy. I resist self-pity. See, you have to do that. Like when you want to feel like you want to kill somebody, you have to resist that. Don't entertain it for 2-3 hours and have a great time killing people. No, you have to resist it right away. Right? So by the time you leave home, you kill 7 people in your head. No? You have to ask God to forgive you for murder. Number 4, are you ready? The helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved by grace, and that you have to continue to renew your mind of who you are. That you're a saved person. Okay? It says Ephesians 2:8, by grace we are saved through faith. You didn't save yourself. God already saved you. Not of yourself or anybody else, your mother, your dad, or anybody else, or the church, or anybody. No, you. God saved you by faith, his grace by faith. It's a gift of God, the faith that he's given you. It's by grace. So, Recognize that you are a saved person, born again, you're already delivered, you already have every need that's met. You have to understand that if you don't know all that, then you're going to have to study a little bit more and find out that God has already provided for you. He's already delivered you. You're not trying to get delivered, because the Bible says, I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and transferred the kingdom of your son, of whom he loves. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, I am already delivered. I'm not trying to get delivered. Right? Are you still here? Number 5, sword of the spirit. Use the word on the devil, against the devil and his schemes. God said what God says about your situation. You know, Jesus said, the Lord Jesus Christ himself showed us how to combat the enemy in every combat situation. He said, Matthew 4:4, when the devil came to him with these suggestions, you know, he'll suggest anything to you. But he answered and said to the devil, it is written. So you have to know what's written about your situation. You have to know what God said about what your situation is and what God has done and what you can do in Christ. If you're having turmoil, you have to say, thank God I have the peace of God. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what it looks like. I have the peace of God. You've got to say that. But man, I don't feel like it. We're not talking about how you feel. We're not talking about how it looks. You got to say, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of his mouth. Verse 18 says, praying always. That's another thing you have to do, is pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication by all saints. Now, use and know the various kinds of prayers that the Bible teaches about. Especially use the prayer of faith. If you don't know the prayer of faith, you won't know how to use any of the other ones. The prayer of faith must be learned first before you can actually cast your care upon the Lord. You're going to have to believe that God took your care and that he's taken care of it. Don't go to prayer again tomorrow and ask for the same thing that you asked yesterday or this morning or an hour ago. You do it one time and say, God, take it from me. Now, if it comes back to you and the devil reminds you, you said, no, I don't have it. I'm not taking it back. And continue to praise him. Thank you, Lord, that you've answered my prayer. I give you praise. Because faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. The devil might give you a doubt, but you don't have to take it. Right? So prayer should be super valued by you, and that you must use your prayer. Matthew 21 and 22 says, all things are possible. All things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. You have to believe that you receive whatever you prayed for. Right? Thank God that you have that. So he's talking about the armory. Okay, so now we finished that part. Now we got to go to the next part, which is Joshua's experiences about being strong. Shall we go there? Do we have 7 minutes left? Or the lights will shut off immediately at 8 o'clock. But we will go anyways. If you have to go ahead. Okay. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. And follow me. After the death of Moses, everybody said the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, assistant, said. So Joshua was Moses' servant. In other words, he was a minister of helps in that man's ministry. He was serving this man of God until a certain time. Moses, my servant, is dead. Everybody, look at your neighbor, say, he's dead.
He's dead.
So some of you have to leave dead things behind, even people. Okay, so because he told them, therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. Now, God used Israel to teach the whole world. I want to say this again. God is still using Israel to teach the whole world.
Amen.
Amen. I was reading somewhere that God used a wicked man of God. use a wicked man. God could use people for his purposes for us.
Amen.
Put that in your pocket. Amen. Okay, so he says, verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Whenever you set foot, you'll be on the land that I've given you. From the Negev wilderness to the southern Lebanon mountains in the north, Euphrates River in the east, the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Everybody say, all the land.
All.
You got to watch them Hittites. They might make good pizza, but don't believe them. Okay, why'd you say that? I don't know. Anyway, verse 5, no one is able to stand against you as long as you live. That's what he's telling this guy. So if Joshua, it was not just for Joshua, it's for everybody there. Now, if the enemy came and just attacked and Joshua is standing there, well, he's responsible for all these people that God wants to lead, right? For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Verse 6, now watch this. Be strong and courageous. God is asking him to be strong and courageous. Having courage doesn't mean you'll never have a chance for anxiety or a chance to be tempted to be anxious. He didn't say you'll never have trouble. He didn't say you'll never suffer as a Christian. You will suffer as a Christian. You'll suffer different things if you obey God. That's the truth. You'll suffer things. But he said, I'll never leave you or abandon you. That means he's going to bring you through it. And you'll be stronger for it and better off. And the people that's with you will be thankful that you did it. Okay? For you and the ones that you will lead these people to possess the land that I have swore to the ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Verse 7, be strong. He's saying it again. Be strong and very courageous. He said courageous before. Then he says very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. He's telling them, you cannot be successful without being strong or courageous. If you want to be successful over your problem right now, you got to be strong. That is to face that and to say, you know what? I don't care how I feel. I'm going to walk through this valley over here. Then he says in verse 7, or 8, study this book of instructions continually. Not just when you feel like it or before church on Sunday, but continually, that means night and day, every day, when you got a chance, as much as you can. And some of you have to do it more often than other people because you've been behind for so long. Especially if you've got no money, you got to read the Bible, what it says about money. If you're weak in your mind, read about what the Bible says about your mind. Study in those areas. If I go to the gym and say, I'm going to just build my legs and just use my top of my body, my legs will never get strong.
That's right.
I might have skinny legs, but I'm strong. Amen. I told Pastor Ken I could lift him up 20 times with one leg like this. He doesn't believe me. Anyway, be careful to obey all my instructions Moses gave you. I read that. Verse 8, meditate day and night so that you'll obey everything written in it, then you'll prosper and success in all you do. Verse 9 again, he's going to say it again. I command you, this is my command, be strong and be courageous. So God is telling you, it's not an option for you to be whether or not you're weak. You're weak because you made that decision. You can only be weak you can be strong when you study the Word of God. And you can be strong right now if you want. You don't have to study 20 times. You can be strong today. You can start deciding, right now I'm going to be strong. You can decide that tonight, right now. This is my command, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged. So, you have the temptation to suffer discouragement if you want to. Okay? You say, well, I'm discouraged, the Blue Jays lost. Toronto lost, same time, and the Montreal Canadiens, they won. You know? No, you could say, well, I'm leaving. You don't have to, right? So, God told us, man, the only way you're going to do it if you start doing something right now, and that is to meditate on my word. And meditation on the word is one of the strongest things you'll ever do. I want you to write it somewhere. Meditation of God's word will be the strongest thing you'll ever do, the smartest thing you'll ever do for everything you have, you'll be confronted with in your life. Meditation of God's word. When you're sitting in bed, laying in bed at night, and you have problems, I want you to think about God's word, about that situation, and you tell yourself about that word. Talk to yourself about that word. Tell yourself, oh, Lord, thank you that you care for all my needs. I'm not afraid. You said not to be afraid, so I won't be afraid. I make a choice right now not to be afraid. No, you tell yourself. When lack is looking at you, say, thank God you supply every one of my needs. You said it. I believe it. I'm looking for it. Thank you, Jesus. Keep saying it. So what if it doesn't come? Well, you keep saying it. Meditate on it. Thank you, Jesus. Never mind. Okay. Abraham's experience. What about Abraham's experience? What about Joshua's experience? What did God tell him? He told him to be strong. Let's look at Abraham over here. We see an account of Abraham, what God said to him about being strong. Abraham was told to be strong even when there was no hope. Abraham and Sarah were in a very difficult situation. They had to make a choice and make a commitment to be strong even in a very, very difficult time. What made the difference for them? Faith, you have a choice, faith or unbelief, and doubt. You can be strong or weak. It's up to you. It's up to you. If you want to be strong about it, it's up to you. Right? Let's go ahead and read here a couple of scriptures. Romans 18 to 21, 4, 18 to 21, New Living. Even when there was no hope. Everybody say no hope. So you have a reason to be strong when there's no hope. He says Abraham kept hoping when there was no hope. There's no reason for him to be hopeful. Believing that he would become a father of many nations, for God had said to him, why could he be strong? Because God said to him something. And God has given us what he said in his word. Then he would become a father of many nations, for God said to him, that's how many descendants you'll have. Verse 19, Abraham's faith did not weaken. He had a choice to be weak, but he did not. Even though he was about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, even so was Sarah's womb. So not only did he have to believe with his situation, but his wife's situation. He had to believe his situation and his wife's situation. Sometimes you're going to come to a place in your life where your husband or wife, you're going to have to tell. Sometimes there's a situation in the past where I told my wife, okay, just don't believe in anything, just stay neutral, and I'm going to believe us through this. I said, okay. Do you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe it. And so we went through it. Sometimes you could do that with your friend, your neighbor, your people that you, it says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, you can do it with somebody who agrees with you. So you don't have to be married to do it. You can find somebody who agrees with you. So verse 20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, he grew stronger. Be strong in the Lord. In this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises. Find the Bible promises and be strong in it. Find the Bible promises and be strong in it. So, in conclusion, are you still here? We're going to conclude here in about 37 and a half seconds. In conclusion, okay. Listen, this is the best part of it, because we're ending. Okay, so you are commanded to be strong. Isn't that right? You're commanded to be strong. So you have a choice to be strong if you want to, and you can walk out of here strong right now. So just as much as Caleb over here that sits behind me sometime, just as much as he made a choice to be called strong, you can be called strong, and you can be strong too. Right? So by faith, you can be strong. It's not about your emotions. It's not about some physical strength that you have to get, some intellectual, you know, craftiness in your mind. It's your choice right now to be strong. You decide by acting on the Word of God that says, if God says, I can do all things through Christ, then whatever it is that you're doing and you're facing, that you can do right now. You can go through any situation in life if you build your house strong. So how are you building your house? Well, I'm going to build my house with the Word of God. That means I'm going to build my whole life on the Scriptures. I'm going to stand and live on the Scriptures of God. If I'm going to fall, I guess God's going to have to fall with me because I'm standing on His Word. And He won't fall. Right? Amen. We're going to close now. Yeah, I told you, 37 seconds. Let's all stand. Say, I am strong. Thank you, God. Your word says to be strong. So I am strong. When I act on the word, I'm being strong. When I believe the word, I'm being strong. Everything about the word, I believe it, and then I'm strong. Thank you, Jesus, that there's no enemy, no devil big enough to take me out. Because God has predetermined that I shall be successful in His word. In Jesus' name, amen.